The Boiled Sports Basketball Beat is sponsored by Martin Vintage. Visit martinvintage.com for a great selection of classic Purdue t-shirts. Enter BOILED at checkout for 20% off your entire order. Martin Vintage.
When is IU playing?
Oh, I saw it. I saw when their time was.
What
listen,
are they in?
Listen, I have my laptop here. Let me just check it real quick. Can't find them. Couldn't find them.
I heard they're playing St. Francis of Ignatius.
They did a really good search
it's like a
there
CYO
on my
school.
Google.
Exactly. On my Google machine. Hey Siri, when is IU playing? Yeah. All right. Do we want to get started while I have time to be here?
Yep.
You guys ready to roll?
Are we going to cover spring football in this podcast?
Come on, I thought that was a joke. You don't get it? That's not funny.
People answered it. That's a bad thing.
Hey, how's our O-line going to be?
Come on, people. Come on, people.
You not get us yet?
It's amazing. They don't. How the fuck? Oh, my gosh. You people disappoint me so frequently.
Okay, let's try to keep this tidy. 40 minutes?
Yeah, absolutely. That's all I got anyway. Is it a beat? It's a beat, right, Anish?
Yeah, sure. Whatever.
You keep track of it. I like how you say you're sure whatever. You're
Who's
the guy who cares about this.
Who's
stuff.
The host?
Justin.
All right. I don't have to be.
You're basketball beat. It's a basketball beat. I mean.
It's always me.
I'm never host. So
Anish doesn't like to host. You don't like to host.
I'm not
you guys
good.
Are the
we're
CEO.
Bad at we're bad at I'm hosting. The, like I'm we're
the, we just focus is our thing.
I introduce everyone, and then you guys are the analysts. That's, I think it works well.
Yeah.
All right.
You're like the handsome straight man in the group.
That's right. The only straight man in the group. Set him up. Welcome to the Boiled Sports Basketball Beat Selection Sunday, St. Patrick's Day, Spring Football Podcast Edition. No, everyone on Twitter, I didn't really mean we're going to talk about spring football. We can, if you'd like, but we're going to talk about the NCAA tournament. And before we get started, I just want to say this is Jay. I'm joined by Boiler Dad.
Hello.
And Dr. Swami.
Hey, don't say that yet.
Hey, let's not get the card out.
Don't say that yet. I got to wait.
Mr. The Swami. Think
the card could still fall off the
That's
entire
true.
Road. It could be
That
bad.
Would be mortifying at this point because we've told 14,000 followers that you are
I'm actually be. Quite fine with it either way. I'm leaving no matter
being
what, so
over,
I'm fine.
Being done is really the goal. It's just crossing the finish line whether you have the diploma or not.
Exactly.
So it's we're recording this. Anish is going to produce this mere seconds after we record it. So this is the Selection Sunday edition. Purdue is a 3 seed. Which, by the way, I just want to say, I told you so. So did Michael. So did Boil It Down. So did Anish. We all told you. So did Dave. 3 seed. 3 seed in your face. So the thing I want to say, though, that I don't know about you guys. Maybe I should quit trying. I can't figure out, after 25 years of being a Purdue fan, I can't figure out Purdue mentality or stream of consciousness. Now, maybe these are different people, but if you were on Purdue Twitter last night, after the Minnesota game, you would think that they should dissolve the basketball program and that they would never win again.
Yeah.
Then today, after everyone, it's like Selection Sunday is like Christmas morning, right? Everybody's like in a new mood. Like it's like, psh, turn the page, totally different. Now we all love Carson again. Matt Painter's a genius. I actually, one of the first tweets I saw after the draw was, I saw that draw and I was like, ooh. It's like, ooh, Villanova in the second round. And I see people talking about.
That was our nightmare scenario, by the way.
Right?
We talked about it.
And I said.
Internally.
But one of the first tweets I saw. Now, I don't know if this is prevailing, but I did see more than one person seem so confident in ODU, they're just looking past him. Second, saying, I actually saw someone say this. Neither ODU nor Villanova can match up with Purdue.
Oh, excellent points. Fantastic.
I was like, who?
Goodness gracious.
You know who can match up with Matt Painter, though? Jay Wright.
I think so that's
kind of good. He's kind of good.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
And then I'll just say one other one, and you can tell me what other nonsense you've seen. But I've got people talking to me about, hey, look at that. You could have eventually a matchup with Virginia. I'd take that. Okay, I would take that too because you're putting us in the Elite Eight. Like,
Yeah.
Hell yeah, I would take that. But aren't we all looking ahead this just a tad? Here's the thing. Just a smidge?
Yeah, yeah. So I, here's the people. I would give the jail get out of jail free card to the students, right? Because I saw one guy, he was like, this road is awesome. I'm going to call it right now. Purdue's going to the Final Four. And it said, and then I went on his bio and it said, School of Pharmacy, class of
22 or something.
20. Yeah, I was like, okay. That's fine. Anybody that's in school right now, you haven't been jaded yet. You haven't gone through the ringer like the rest of us have.
Right.
But if you're older and you're already talking, oh yeah, it's this is just formality. What are they going to do versus Tennessee?
I don't think I even saw people talking about Tennessee. They just skipped straight to UVA.
Walk over.
Like, we're just going to ignore the team that was number one for like whatever 6 weeks of the season, seven weeks of the season.
And the funny thing about that Tennessee team, I can remind everybody who doesn't have a memory, those are the same guys that kicked our ass down in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Same parts. But guess what? Now they're older and better.
That was last season. Let's not forget. It feels forever ago. It was the start of last season.
Yeah, but they still have that.
They are.
It's not like 2 years ago. It's last year. So that's what, to your point, that's the same parts. Yeah.
People don't seem to remember that. I remember that. You remember it. You were there in person. Mm-hmm. I know Anish remembers it. I have a hard time with people dismissing Tennessee. I have a hard time with people dismissing Villanova. I'll dismiss ODU.
I'll dismiss Old
Dominion. You will?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, like, because if we lose, that's our fault. That's not Old Dominion being good.
Like, as I said on Twitter, dismiss mid-major. They're a conference champ out of the mid-major. I mean, dismiss them at your own peril.
Here's the problem. Well, I don't think Purdue will, okay?
No, they won't.
They are like a very poor man's Virginia to me because they're so defensive-minded. But when I say very poor, they're like 100 spots behind Virginia in the net. There are 111 spots behind Virginia in the KenPom. That's pretty low. You're getting into really a very lousy team for an NCAA tournament team, according to computer rankings. You guys know that I'm not an analytics guy, a computer guy, but the computers see some things that are consistent, especially this deep into the season. Purdue should handle their business versus ODU. But Purdue should not go in as cocky as Purdue fans talking about Purdue versus Tennessee.
They won't. I don't think Purdue the team will.
No.
I think I will give Painter and staff credit that they don't. I don't think they overlook anybody.
I think they prepare almost.
I mean, you've made this point before. He's not great in tournaments probably because he doesn't adjust to the next game that well,
yeah.
that quickly, yeah. right? He's got them so focused on that first game. And again, what's Painter's history? Advancing a game or two without a problem.
Right.
Right. So. Right. They're always prepared for that first one.
Well, that's the whole thing. The interesting thing is when Painter is really, since in the years he has been himself, right? I would call those, what, 2-3 years, a bit of an aberration when Purdue was down at the bottom of the conference. 2 years, right? Two seasons in each?
Mm-hmm.
Let's throw those out because I think that's fair to do. There was a lot of bad stuff going on right then, okay? When Painter is himself, when his teams are themselves, Purdue generally plays to seed. This is a tough assignment, though. Beating Villanova is a tough assignment because they're generally – I mean, here, let me just take this first. The last time I watched a full Villanova game was back when they were really bad in December. So I can't speak very educated, but what I will say is they've obviously gotten better in that time. They've done a lot like Purdue, which tells me Jay Wright is doing what Jay Wright does, which is get teams on the same page. They have their system down. They're a team that if you look at their roster they shouldn't be able to match up with Purdue very well because they're not very big. But that's what Villanova does, right? When they're good, they're not very big. So when they're not very good, of course, they're not going to be a very developed roster. Pretty good matchup.
They seem to have if we'll skip Old Dominion for now, but Villanova seemed to have backed into a Big East title because I think they lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of their last 8 games of the regular season. And then they won the Big East Conference tournament, which shouldn't make us feel great because that seems like Jay Wright rounding out into being Jay Wright again. This is a worse Villanova team than we're seeing the last 7 years or so, 6 years, however long he's had them rolling. But it's still Jay Wright coaching, and that gives me hives.
Yeah, I got in a great argument this week via text. And one of the argument points, it was a, kind of an interesting point, made me think a little bit, was how long did it take Jay Wright to really figure it out as a coach?
A while.
It took him a while. He was 52, 53 when they won their first national title. Painter is not 52, 53 yet, right? So what that means is probably Painter's going to win a couple national titles. When he
that's
gets
how,
to
I, yep, that's how I read yep. that. That's yep. how I read yep. that.
Seems like the logical next step. Because they struggled, right? They struggled just like, well, right? We're not very good in the tournament. And then all of a sudden, this,
Anish was making the point that, that he was on his way to being not forced out, but like there was some nudging, right? I mean, there was some if he didn't get it together, and there was some overtures from the NBA, right, Anish?
Jay Wright, yeah, and I think there'll be more.
So handsome. That's
yeah, he's real.
Man, he's a good looking guy.
Very good looking. Wears a suit well, like the cut of his jib.
So Purdue's on at 10 p.m. Thursday night.
That's perfect.
10 p.m. That's well. Here's what I like about that. You probably remember me making this joke in the past. They will not be the first team knocked out of the tournament. That's always what's. I always feel bad for that team that has like the 12:10 p.m. start on Thursday, and by like 2:15, they're already going home. Nobody else. Everyone's just like waking up.
Right, right. People are still trying to pretend they're working at that point. Right,
right. Right. There's already a bunch of teams are already home.
Yeah. Well, so I just retweeted. So there's this really good guy on does really good visualizations, Jordan Sperber, Hoop Vision is what he runs. And so basically what he's done is he's taken the KenPom offense and defense adjusted ratings and graphed them. And just so that you know which quadrants every team, like where their strengths are, where their weaknesses are, which ones are good at both. And so the top three, obviously, in Purdue's region are Purdue, UVA, and Tennessee. Now, Tennessee and Purdue are almost identical. They're both really good offensively and just over average defensively. Like, they're fine. They're both fine defensively, which is actually, this is both adjusted offensive efficiency. That actually surprises me. But Virginia is the most top corner, top left or top right corner that there is. They are the best offense and among the best defense, and that's not ideal.
That's suboptimal for Purdue. Right.
And Old Dominion cannot score. So
really interesting. Like everything I read. So by the way, Dave did an excellent job getting a very good snapshot for all Purdue fans out there. If you haven't checked out Dave's quick look at Purdue's
draw. What's the website?
Go to boiledsports.com/Dave/analysis.
Handsome slash short term. But he nailed it. And he talked about like everything that I read talks the first thing about ODU's inability to shoot the ball, which I cannot shoot the ball, but I am a bad basketball player, and I'm 43.
And you too would not. You also would not be Purdue in the first.
I would not be Purdue. That's a good point. That's a very so. ODU and I are very similar, I think, is what we're getting at. It's pretty unusual to me. Like Virginia last year, they're a better version this year of what they were last year, right?
Yeah.
Very defensive minded, and they play a different style. They kind of play a half court game.
Yeah, they slow it down, but they slow it down, and it works for them. Results in a very efficient offense. I mean, they're everybody, and I think they're going to come out being annoyed and angry.
Yes, me
too. Have pent up rage. After a year, which they should. I mean, like Tony Bennett's a good coach.
I love Tony Bennett still.
He's a great coach. He's legitimately the system is not my favorite, but it's like Bo Ryan at Wisconsin, right? It's like it works for him.
They've got a ridiculously nice path to the Elite Eight.
They do.
I'm going to tell you guys something though. Maybe I'm just speaking out of turn here, but Tony Bennett reminds me a lot of somebody. Maybe you guys remember. Oddly enough, this guy has the same last name. He coached at Wisconsin. So like maybe it must be a coincidence, right?
I mean a lot of people common last name.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that's the so we talk about ODU versus Virginia. The low scoring is kind of where the parallels stop because Virginia can score and they're a bunch of good basketball players. It seems to me like ODU just is a team that has a very good defensive system, but on offense it's like I guess they're playing for interceptions and pick sixes.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Right. Yeah, just playing, right. You know.
A lot of blitzes.
A lot of blitzes. We said we were going to cover football in this.
Right, right.
You know, when I look at it, we keep talking about Villanova like it's foregone that they're going to advance. I don't know. St. Mary's actually is sneaky.
if you were looking to win your bracket, that's kind of one of the picks you to differentiate yourself from.
Nobody's going to pick St. Mary's.
Exactly. Maybe if 2018 would have never happened, right? But like you said, I kind of feel like this is not going to be close. I've had people say, yeah, Purdue could be playing St. Mary's. I'm like, hell no. And you see, you're getting way ahead there, obviously. But I don't see that game being close. If that game's close, you're dealing with a systemic issue, right? You're not dealing with a one.
You're talking Virginia, you mean?
Oh yeah, my bad.
In the first round. No. Yeah. So Nova is playing St. Mary's. Yeah. St. Mary's is really good. Like that's a 6-11 that could
they beat Gonzaga.
Here's my problem. You guys know my problem with Gonzaga.
I don't like
them. But the reason I don't like them is because they never play anyone, right? That conference, to me, you've got two teams. And Jay always says, well, St. Mary's is strong against Gonzaga. I'm like, but that's it.
They always seem to beat them, though.
But that's it. Nobody else beats them, right? So it's like, it's almost like you get them in a position where Gonzaga isn't caring very much, which I think is what just happened. I think Gonzaga kind of thought they would dance right through their tournament. And I mean, they're very, very good. Gonzaga, I have a hard time not getting them to the Final Four this year. I mean,
yeah, right.
So you look at their weapons, you look at their shooting percentage. They're so good. Like one thing I said, it's always tough to beat Syracuse, right? Syracuse it's a weird defense. It's a tough, good zone. That's what they do. And so I said, so let's really dig into Gonzaga's shooting. You know, obviously they got great players, but can they shoot? Yes. Yes, they can shoot very, very well. That's a team that you're like, holy moly. They're if I remember correctly, I looked about 3 hours ago, but I think Gonzaga has four guys that shoot over 44% from three.
Mm-hmm. It's nuts. Mm-hmm. Just absolutely nuts.
I hear that's pretty good.
So yeah. KenPom predicts a 1-point win by Villanova. So it's a 52. It's 52-48 by KenPom.
So let me ask you guys, if you watched more Villanova than I did in the last month and a half, 2 months, we all said we were bothered by Villanova because of Jay Wright, but are you bothered by them at a talent standpoint, like matchups?
If you take the name off the jersey, right?
Yeah,
I probably look at this, especially with the way Nova played down the stretch, and I look at this and think, well, it's not a terrible. I mean, that's what people were getting at who were saying, I don't mind this path. But if you got to beat a good defensive Old Dominion, then a recent national champ in Villanova, then a team in Tennessee that was number one a good chunk of the year and whipped up on Purdue last year. Mm-hmm. And then Tony Bennett's team, if you got that far. I mean, Anish, I think you made this point online. I think you made this on the Twitter machine. Like, boy, would that be a nice way for Boogie to – and I said to you, and how about Coach Painter? Like, yeah. if that were your path and you made it through that gauntlet, that ends any debate about anything, either of those guys.
But it's the reason is because it's just such an impossibly tough freaking
gauntlet.
Yeah, it's pretty tough.
Well, aren't you hoping if you're Purdue, you're hoping that's not your path. You're hoping someone takes out Villanova, Tennessee, or Virginia, right? You really have to hope that you're playing, you know, Kansas State in the Elite Eight or something, right? Like,
come on, Katie, the Katie coaching tree has to come through at some point,
or Wisconsin. I'll take all of Wisconsin. Let's turn that around.
So we're looking at, like you're saying, St. Mary's,
Cincinnati,
like Colgate.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Colgate. Oh,
Colgate's tough, man.
They're really good. By the way, have you seen their court? Did you watch them during their conference tournament?
No.
Okay, tell me I'm a moron, okay? I work in design, okay? And I sometimes overanalyze things. Colgate, in the center of their court, has C apostrophe gate.
Colgate's a very long word.
Yes, it's a super long word.
And you saved one space.
So they've got a giant block C and apostrophe gate over the – I'm like, what? Do people call them the gate? Is that something that the kids are doing?
Do they call them Seagate?
Seagate?
Just put gate on there. Like gate is – do apostrophe would be cool.
Gate. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I'm gonna throw my ignorance at the feet of all the listeners right now because – I couldn't believe it. I literally stopped and I said, "Do you see what I'm seeing right now? This is really happening." Yeah, it is really happening.
They're trying to be clever.
They were. It's huge too. That's the thing. It is. It's one of those middle, you know, court logos that's like
that looks like something like a mistake was made. Yes. Like they made it so big. Like, yeah, we thought this was a 200 by 150 court. We didn't know.
Well, there's another one, right? I don't know which conference has who has the New Orleans Skyline on their conference court, but
Tulane, isn't it?
No, but this is like a court just for the conference championship, and you know, like a lot of like if you put New York Skyline, everybody would be like, "Oh, that's New York, right?" Sure, there's some things in there. We get it, right? Even if you go, I think Pittsburgh has some cool stuff. You know, like you get it, but New Orleans skyline is not a great skyline.
No.
And so what they did is they put all these details. There's like the Superdome and a bridge and a bunch of little buildings. And I was like, "Whoo!" And it's bright blue. It's not stained into it.
Is it like filling with water?
Too soon.
No, it isn't. You built the damn city below sea level.
But then they rebuilt the city below sea level too.
I'm gonna eventually just move down to New Orleans because it's a perfect city, and we're not gonna see too much of it because
it's beautiful.
By a boat,
It's the best city,
and some sort of thing to fight off alligators if the dike breaks again, because they're gonna be everywhere. I
got hands to fight those alligators. Okay,
you're a bad dude. By the way, I want to say something, guys. I apologize, Anish.
You've been pretty quiet.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. I really have.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Happy St. Patrick's Day. Absolutely.
It's such an important holiday. As my brother says, what the hell is Ireland giving the world?
That's right. You guys.
We've been living a lie. Our name is O'Dowd, actually. Right. The O was dropped about 100 years ago. But we found on different genetic tests that we're about, my son said he is 10% Irish.
What?
I don't know how that even works, but yeah.
Well, what's your wife? Your wife's not Irish.
Black. Which is shocking because she's one of the fairest skinned people I've ever met. So.
You would never know it, right?
Yeah, you wouldn't. But those tests are.
Oh, my father, by the way, this is a complete aside. My father thinks those tests are, he's a skeptic about those genetic tests.
Everybody has conspiracy theories a little bit ashamed of, but they believe with all of their heart.
Uh-oh, this is yours.
Yeah, mine is that 23andMe doesn't really know. They go through archives for names, but they don't have any.
They're like, your name is Anish Ramaswamy? I'm not going to say you're an Irish guy.
You're clearly Italian.
And they are banking everybody's DNA because eventually they're going to collect it and make a Westworld world out of everybody's DNA.
You guys, if you want to get into, and I'm not going to get really deep into this right now, go ahead and look at the companies that own the DNA tests and the churches that own the DNA tests.
Not messing with this, man. This
dude, it's craziness. I know we just went down a weird road, but I can tell you, I looked into this because my son really wanted one of these. So we started looking all of them, and I was like, holy moly, it's nuts.
It's really creepy.
It is.
It's so, really bad. So
I think they're going to clone Little Boiler Dowd is what I think is going to happen. 100 years, there will be another one.
JFK, there was a second shooter. What other conspiracy theories are we talking about here?
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah, okay.
The NBA's rigged.
Yeah, oh, the envelope. Yeah, for sure. Frozen envelope. Yeah. That happened. So, yeah, well, we've been really on topic.
It's been really good.
It's great. Good
we were, First we were me, there for a while.
Losing brain cells and forgetting who Nova's playing. And
so the elephant in the room is Carson's back, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, the yearly injury that Purdue seems to battle about this, I wouldn't put it in. Yep. I wouldn't put this in the realm of the other ones yet.
No, and I wouldn't. And you know what else?
No.
I don't think I think it was a little tweaked. And I think the reason he said, "I'll be fine," is because he really will be fine. Because I don't think if the trainers had said to Coach Painter, "Oh, there's a bit of a problem here," I don't think he would have been on the floor to take the last shot of the game. He wouldn't have been on the floor in the second half, would he? Would you have kept playing him if he was actually hurt in that Big Ten tournament game?
I don't know, but
I'd probably what I would do is the right thing to always do in this case is inject him with a painkiller and steroid and put him back out on the field of play. I believe that's ethical thing to do. Exactly. If we did it that way 30 years ago, then that's probably still the right.
Yeah,
thing.
They were playing in Converse cardboard shoes.
Dude, 30 years ago, I was like 17 years old.
No, there you go.
Yeah. Not far from that. My math is not that. I was trying to make a joke there and it didn't even fall because it's like.
Oh, far. No. Is it accurate? Was I?
Dude, I was 14 that young.
It's close, man.
Yeah, it's really bad.
Too close. I don't think I would have.
You don't think his back's that bad? Neither of you guys do.
No, I think it was uncomfortable enough that you could see him not wanting to drive. He wasn't finishing as strong as he usually does.
Agreed.
And he was settling for a lot of shots where even though he had a little bit of space, he just shot it. Because that's the easy thing to do when you're.
But is that unusual? Is that that weird?
Yeah, it's weird if he never attacks the rim because the big, you know, Carson. As much as he is a gunner, he loves getting a dunk off on somebody, or he loves finishing in contact. Mm-hmm. And he didn't do that at all. He didn't even try to drive that much at all in the Big Ten tournament game against Minnesota. Too, by the way, losing twice in 10 days to Minnesota to friggin' Little Patino. That's
awful. That's pretty awful.
But. And the committee agrees with us because Purdue was a 3 seed anyway. Big Ten tournament does not matter. Especially
for the ACC tournament does.
That's what my research says. Especially for teams who have already proved it. Now, what Duke needed to prove is that Zion
was healthy. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Duke.
I can't believe he came back. I still
he is the Incredible Hulk. Is what he is.
Here, question for you. Serious. Hold on,
shoe person. I need the shoe take first. That humans don't burst out of shoes like that, do they?
He was wearing the wrong shoe. I said that right away. He was wearing the wrong shoe. Okay.
I remember you saying this.
But I will say there was a clear manufacturing error there. So, like, to get into some dorky stuff, there's a board the shoe is lasted on, and then they stitch it all the way around that board. Okay. That shoe failed at the board, not at the midsole. So he blew through the bottom of the shoe inside the midsole and then went straight through the midsole. The issue that he had, though, is that shoe has no extra layers for reinforcement. It doesn't have very bulky materials. It doesn't have very good textiles. I said, this is really dorky, but there are a couple different materials. I'm not going to go that dorky. There are a couple different materials that Nike could have used on that shoe to make it more durable. They didn't. They made that shoe for PG, and that shoe looks like it's engineered like a trainer, not a basketball shoe. Yeah. I think if he goes up,
why
he
should be in
the bronze shoe.
I was going to say, why didn't LeBron shoes are designed for two people on this earth to wear. Zion Williamson and LeBron James.
And that's the thing. If you've ever, I've bought a pair of LeBrons, okay? Oh. And I'm not a little person, meaning lightweight. And those things feel like you are strapped into snowboard.
They're like moon shoes. Yeah. They're like moon shoes. Like the only real LeBrons I had ever played in were like early ones. These were like 05, 06 timeframe. And they were like
the Velcro strap and the reverse swoosh on there. On the
they were like 15 pounds. And it was the most incredible thing I've ever worn. Cause it's like, you know, when you wear those like weighted tray, you remember, those shoes with the little the half circle on the top, the weights that were just like, and then you took them off and you were just jumping through the roof.
Yeah. Here is a little factoid. My boss at Puma designed those shoes.
See, I bet that that guy designed LeBron James shoes. So Zion, I think Duke just had to prove that Zion had to was looking good. And
so did
Zion,
you hear this is so you guys know how you guys understand how I feel about, you know, the arguments against the current system, the amateurism things that you and Michael talk about a lot, Niche. But I don't know if did you guys read how Nike attacked this problem? This is incredible. They sent a contingent of 10 people. All of you out there who are listening, who didn't read this, Nike sent a contingent of 10 people to Duke and to Zion Williamson to talk to him, to investigate the shoe, to talk to Coach K, to look at the whole situation. Then they sent those 10 people directly to China. They built a shoe based on Zion's foot measurements and cast. And then they sent that single pair of shoes, probably multiple of those pulled over, back to Zion so that he got a special engineered pair of Kyrie Irving's for his foot. That's an incredible amount of resources.
They do
I know
that for everyone, don't they?
Yeah, yeah, everybody gets that. That's true. Yeah. So Coach K has the biggest Nike contract, I'm told, as an individual coach. Nike was looking at a lot of issues, and they're looking at a PR nightmare, and they handled it.
That's the thing.
It's huge. It's a huge deal.
Zion's going to be the next big.
Wouldn't it be great if Zion signed with Adidas? Just came out.
I see. Oh. That's what I think that this is the best thing to ever happen to Zion because probably made him like $50 million.
Before he's ever played a second, he's got a ridiculous shoe contract because Nike cannot afford to let him go. Yeah. Right. And other companies know if we get him, this is a chip that we can play in ads and PR all day long.
The reason to spend this much time on Duke is that it looks like they have a road.
Let's do something real quick. Last time Jay and I talked a lot about Duke, Zion didn't play the next 2.5 weeks. So let's do that. Let's talk about every team that's in Purdue's path. But we did. That's the funny thing. Jay and I, we talked about the invincibility of Duke. And when you watch Duke with Zion Williamson, they are just as invincible as we thought.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about college basketball kind of being heavy, you know, like the middle was very even, kind of team 5 to team 60. They're fairly even, or let's say team 5 to team 30 is pretty
even. Absolutely. Right? Very oddly even.
Purdue, Texas Tech, all of them are pretty even around the middle there. Virginia, Gonzaga, and Duke are just head and shoulders. And I would actually kind of put Tennessee in that.
Well, Tennessee, this is one of those, this Tennessee team, I don't know if you guys ever do this. You watch like a classic sports game, right? When I say classic sports, I mean the network or what, not a classic sports game, like generic. I'm not trying to sound like my mom there. But when you watch one of those games of a team that you're like, look at all the pros on the court.
Right.
Tennessee has 4 pros on the court. Mm-hmm. That's pretty rare for a team like Tennessee. Duke, on the other hand, I just went back and looked through the archives of Duke and Kentucky specifically just to see what type of talent we're dealing with. And you are dealing with just stacks of McDonald's All-Americans. Duke has 8 McDonald's All-Americans in the last 2 years. Purdue, I just checked, has 3 McDonald's All-Americans that I can remember in my life.
And you can I confirm that you are over 2 years old?
Yes, I am over 2 years old. Okay. That is absolutely true. Well, but you think about that and you're like, how are you supposed to compete with that?
You're not.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's the whole deal.
But look at Duke's, you know, just you guys are talking, we'll wrap up the Duke hour soon, but look at Duke's path. Do you have your bracket in front of you?
Duke, VCU. They'll probably play Virginia Tech, and then finally they'll get a game if Michigan State goes all the way through. Like,
I've got a little Liberty action happening there myself.
Yeah, it's like
easy path for Duke.
It's an easy path.
Oh my goodness, is that easy?
And then meanwhile, UVA, Purdue, and Tennessee kind of have to, and Nova have to duke it out.
So. And Nova and Wisconsin. I mean, that's quite a
it's pretty tough.
It's not a bracket.
I actually
think
Gonzaga Gonzaga's bracket is much harder because if you look at that, you've got potential pitfalls. Florida State's no joke. Murray State's no joke. Michigan is obviously very good with one of the best coaches in America.
Syracuse's defense.
Texas Tech, Syracuse. These
Buffalo.
Buffalo is very good, and they've got a superstar on that team. That's the thing. Whenever you have a superstar, you can make a little run.
Actually, Nevada, Michigan in the second round is tasty.
There are going to be some great ones this year.
Have you guys watched Nevada play in the last 2 weeks?
They've kind of tailed off Ted.
They have. Yes. And that to me is prime picking for
The fact that they're a 7, they started the season in the top 10.
That's pretty crazy, right?
Yeah.
They were like 7th maybe in the nation.
No. They were higher than that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They were really well thought of, and they're still good. But that 7 seed feels like a slap, right? I mean, I don't. Mm-hmm. Maybe because of what they're coming out of conference wise, but man.
The funny thing is, like, I look at the tournament and I generally go through and I think of who is in a similar position as Purdue, how Purdue end, that sort of thing. And the whole thing, that one of my biggest arguments of Purdue getting a 3 seed was I said Florida State has earned their way into that 3 seed because they've been playing so well the last month. Mm. Florida State in the toughest conference by the tournament committee's admission, right? Because you're like the top of that conference all get, I mean, unprecedented. 3 number 1 seeds out of the same conference. I don't think it's ever happened. I
think the Big East never did that.
I don't think so. See, the Big East heyday, really, the best, you know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, was really 5-7 years ago. That's the best. I mean,
there were great. Okay. I meant like 80s. I meant like back when like St. John's, Georgetown.
No, I don't think they ever did it.
No.
Okay. But so the interesting thing is you have this kind of dichotomy of the committees. What their thought process says to me is that you had 3 great teams in the ACC,
and then
a massive fall off.
Well, because
the problem with that is Florida State disproves that because they went through some of those good teams.
Yeah.
They played very well.
Your point is, if the conference is that good, Florida State deserves a better seed than a 4.
Yes, and they clearly
because they played in that.
And how about this one?
Yeah.
Florida State and Virginia Tech both beat Purdue head-to-head, and they both came from that conference. That, to me, is a massive point. To me, it shows kind of the idiocy of selection committees in general. But that's a pretty bad failure, in my opinion. Putting Purdue as a 3 is a bad failure.
You think Purdue should be lower?
According to that, I don't know how you could put Purdue in front of Florida State.
Well, so Purdue is the last 3 seed, and right. I think Florida State is the 2nd in the S curve.
They're only a couple slots behind Purdue.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they pay less attention to those sorts of head-to-heads, though, right? Like, they don't care that Purdue and Florida State played in December. I don't think they care about that. It's too long ago.
They don't care about it on one hand, but on the other hand, those quadrant one wins are so important this year.
Right.
That's when Florida State's quadrant one wins.
But Purdue has a lot too, I think, is probably the point. Purdue has a lot of, Purdue has a lot of good wins. Playing the Big Ten, you get a lot of good wins.
Well, bigger than Purdue. So Purdue's biggest strength to me is not having a lot of good wins. It's having no bad losses, right? Other than Notre Dame. Notre Dame is the bad loss. Everybody else that Purdue lost to is damn good.
And I know it's not really done this way, but even when it happened, nobody thought it was as bad a loss as it kind of turned out. Like, it didn't look – Notre Dame looked okay that day, and they didn't look – you did call it, but I don't think – we didn't look at Notre Dame like, oh, they lost to, Liberty or something.
I'll be honest. So, like, the only thing that I saw when – it's kind of like the antithesis of North Carolina in this tournament. What I saw when I watched Notre Dame play, I was like, there's no bodies out there that look like pro bodies to me.
Right.
When you watch North Carolina, right, it doesn't matter. North Carolina in the beginning of the season was not playing good basketball. Even into January, not playing good basketball still. But you're like, these guys look like players. And then they start showing that they're players. And actually, Roy Williams did quite a coaching job. I have a hard time giving him credit because I'm not a big fan of his. But the I know
Dagnabbit.
Dagnabbit. Aw, shucks, Roy, right? I mean, I'm just not a fan of the dude. UNC, though, was very strong. The problem that I have, right, so the net was supposed to be this really, really important piece of the puzzle, and you had 2 SEC teams in front of North Carolina in that net. So, like, there are all these problems that I see with giving the ACC – 3 number 1s. I'm not saying North Carolina is not good. If you give them the number 1, number 2 seed, that's still
sort of feels like Tennessee kind of belongs there, doesn't it?
I thought they did.
And did you watch that game versus Kentucky? That was gritty. That was really a well played game. They did a lot of good things down the stretch. It seems like all the right things were pushed. Good coaching. Players made plays, lots of big shots. They went back and forth. Both teams really scored very, very well for a good chunk of those closing minutes. It was a very fun game to watch, very high level.
I thought it was fun. I didn't watch it, but I thought it was very funny that Auburn ended up beating Tennessee in the SEC tournament finals. Like that, getting Bruce Pearl getting Tennessee in the
Anish, you gave me a nice little segue there. How about little Patino against Louisville?
That was totally intentional, obviously. Totally intentional.
So great.
And I have a friend that's so angry about it. He's so mad about this. And I'm like, I think this is hilarious. I think it's so fun because Skeletor is going to wear a black Minnesota had, right, at that game.
And there's always, to me, that's there's always one or two games like that, and then they ask the tournament, and they're like, no, that's just the way it shook out.
It just
like,
happened. This is the way it
works. By the way, why are we both doing Trump as the tournament committee chair?
It's fantastic.
This is a fantastic really bracket. Fantastic. It's the best bracket. People are saying it's the most
it's the world's bracket. Most amazing bracket.
People are saying it's people the are best. Saying,
I have the best saying. Words.
People are saying is just the best catch-all. It's just, it's so it takes care of everything.
Yeah.
Oh man. Let me sorry. Ask you
guys a question, and I know we're riffing, but we're it's so much fun. Why not?
Yeah.
How do you guys feel?
No one's
how do you,
listening.
No one's listening. How do you guys feel about LSU?
Man.
I think that's what'd you say, man.
So LSU is a really talented, really good team.
Very athletic.
Coach is going to be fired. Is
going to be in jail? Maybe
he's already fired. Could be in jail. And they
that already, matters.
They already know that this season is like they're going to be all the wins are going
to
be vacant.
They're going to have to give it back. Yeah,
yeah. It doesn't really matter. So
that's the question: are they demotivated? Are they not focused? I would say their focus is probably a problem.
Yeah,
right now.
But then they're playing the mighty Yales. So like, I don't know.
But I'll tell you what: the one I like about that one to me, like if you look at. Okay, here. How about this one? Here's a nice storyline. Let me ask you guys a question. The first four, there's always a team to come out of the first four that surprises people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm on
Does
the same page.
Does that not look like Belmont?
I'm on the same page. On 100%, yep. We shouldn't tell the people.
No, because, we shouldn't, because they're going to steal all of our money.
And go into the Boiled Sports Bracketgasm, which has already been mentioned.
Billions. And,
yeah, hundreds of tens of views.
I think last year, tell me if I'm wrong, guys, you guys like – history. I like history. But one of the years in the last 2-3 years, we completely forgot to put the thing up like until like 15 minutes before that. Like we didn't talk about it. We didn't do a good job at all. And I was
that
like,
that doesn't sound like us.
That doesn't sound like us. Yeah. That's, I must be thinking of another site. Sorry. Mercy. Oh, man. Let's see. I don't know how many we have signed up, but I assume it's a lot. I don't.
Usually we get somewhere around 250, 300 entries. Let's keep going.
Oh, we've had more than that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, at one point, back when Jay and I had no affiliation with anything, like we didn't have handsome other writers, I think we had close to 900.
We had over 1,000 one year.
There you go.
Because it ran out. When we used to do it on Yahoo, it ran out of slots.
And it would cut us off. Yep.
That's why we stopped doing it on
Yahoo. So last year it was 300 and something.
Yeah. And I think last year might have been the year we didn't
probably
do anything.
I think people have gotten I don't know. Do you get the same charge out of filling out brackets that you did 20 years ago? I don't.
But we're old. There's still 20-year-olds out there, I believe. I got to check. We can have the Boiled Sports Analytics.
Yeah, I'll get on it. Get on.
I think there are 20. Yep, I looked up. There are 20-year-olds out there. So
this isn't like that movie where they can't have babies anymore. What was
that's
that?
Right.
Children
that's
of right. Men. There's just no young people anymore.
Nope, they're out there. This is not like that. So yeah.
So do we want to? Do you guys have other cogent points or any cogent points, or should we go to?
I was guessing other. That would imply that
I don't think we've had a cogent point.
Yeah. So I made a joke, of course, on the Twitters. I said, you know, what do you want to see covered on the podcast we're mm-hmm. doing? And I said, spring football, I assume. And you're right. People have started off. We've gotten one yes,
asking
please
question.
Yeah, oh. And I've had. But then there's a few people who got it. One guy said baseball mostly.
That was
Z Young Bowler. Uh-huh. We got Miles Hanley said girls volleyball would be nice. Nothing wrong with girls volleyball. So it's a great spectator sport.
I enjoy it.
And let's see here. Yeah, predictions for fall two deeps or a lengthy discussion of the 2022 recruiting options for basketball from Robert Ranney. All right, thanks, Robert. O-line depth for sure. ATC Boilermaker.
I'm totally. That's what I'm tuned in right now. All I keep thinking about is Purdue's O-line depth on football.
So Trent Hall, T-Hall, 8310, actually has a good one. He says, favorite non-impractical jokers true TV shows.
I don't know if I could name a single one.
I
somebody
think I
said
can.
Carbonara.
Yes. Effect. Carbonero effect. That is entertaining.
My dad, so here's the problem. My dad loves that show. So if it's on, he'll turn it on, and then he'll start telling me about previous shows, which makes it not as much fun to watch.
Because you sort of have to get the bit. You have to pay attention.
Yeah.
Or you don't know what he's doing.
Yeah. Right. And the other thing, if you've watched that show, it's the same show over and over. But yeah. So is Impractical Jokers, but I think those guys are hilarious. So I get into that. Like, to me, the best way to burn it, when I'm traveling, many nights I'm back at my hotel. It's like 9:15. I generally don't go to sleep till 1, 12:30, right in there. And so I'm like, what the hell am I going to do for the next 3 hours? I watch bad movies and I watch The Impractical Jokers. That's it.
I am scrolling through a seemingly infinite number of TV shows, and I have never heard of any of them. It just
but they've got a bunch of like, it's like comedy shows where you make like roasts.
Yeah,
like,
comedy that knockout. Seems like, true yeah. TV comedy knockout.
And it seems like that's all they do is they hire comedians who you may have heard of or seen in something, and then they come on and they make fun of other people. So you guys might get calls soon, is what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, we're gonna.
You're relatively famous, both of you, and you guys have cult followings, both of you. Anish, I'm told, gets free things every time he goes any place.
I have a shelf full of them back there.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah. I get no free things from anywhere.
No. It's because I'm beloved.
Yeah, exactly. Very beloved.
Yeah. Do we have questions?
Yes. So we have our regular responder, that boiler in France. FNSmin 81. He says, more likely scenario, Purdue loses in the second round and the fan base agrees the season was more than anyone expected, or they lose in the Sweet 16 and the fan base loses their mind and want to run Carson out on a rail.
That's an interesting point. I'm going to go with point. A because I don't think they're going to get past Nova. I'm showing my hand right now.
But what he's saying in that scenario, he's saying, will fan base agree that season was more than anyone expected? I think
here's what I'm finding is everyone is a jerk when it comes
to I was actually going to say everybody's very calm. I think
measured.
It's killing me, guys. Killing my idea of humankind, because these are the people, like, we have some connection with these people.
They're among us.
They are among us, and they are really mean for no good reason.
I'm beginning to think, and I'll be honest, I'm not beginning to think this. I've been thinking this. I think Purdue's got some bad fans, guys.
Wait, hold on. 40,000 people at the school, and you think there's some bad fans?
There are teams. There are
a lot of bad fans.
And programs. Now, IU's got some bad fans. However, throughout their debacle of a season, it didn't feel like they were turning on their players. It felt like they kept
saying... They did that after the season.
But it felt like all year they kept saying, nope, he's gonna take us. Roma's going to take us. You guys, he's going to get it together, and they're going to get in, and Roma's... Now, they may have turned on their coach, but we've all agreed that's fine because that's the guy who paid millions of dollars. But that's
the
funny thing.
They really... After the season, though, they changed their tune. This is the really interesting thing to me. I spent a time, probably an hour. I did some searches, looked at the way IU fans were talking, and they changed their tune. Now they say,
Archie, because he's gone, because he's leaving, because Archie's going to come back next year.
And they're blaming the players.
Yes.
And I'm like, listen, you guys had a very good player in Morgan, and you had a very, a truest of true blue chips, right?
Right.
And then they had four-star guys on top of that? That's a good cast. But they're blaming the players right now. Here's the thing. Our standard at Boiled Sports is different than the Purdue fan standard. What we tend to do is we say, let's blame the coach. Let's say, hey, you get paid lots of money. We're putting this on you.
Yeah.
We're not going to throw these guys under the bus, especially if they're working hard. It looked to me like IU was working hard. I can tell you that. They looked like they were playing hard versus Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last time I'm going to watch IU this year. Actually, I love the NIT, so I'm sure I'll tune in. No, I won't.
This is as many shots as we can fire over. Yeah, just launch going. All the keep torpedoes.
Exactly.
Just, they're all going to expire, so just launch them. Put them out in the water. So,
but the problem is, I will tell you something. Here's the problem. It is very simple. We have 14,000-plus followers on Twitter. Mm-hmm. In that group, there are some stupid people. I'm sorry. If you're offended by that, you are one of the stupid people. So, but we also have some very smart people, very level-headed, very funny people that understand your jokes when you put out the bait in the water. So that's the problem. It's just a large sample size. 14,000 people is a lot.
If you're on the fence and you're worried about – if you're about to be offended right now, you're one of the smart people. You're one of the ones we love. Don't get mad.
Don't worry about it. We're talking. Okay.
Not talking. You don't need.
other you ones. Don't need to defend yourself. You really don't. People did that. Jay put out a making fun of tweet just to see what would happen. Hey, whoever didn't think three was a possibility, I can't find you right now. I can't remember what it was. And people were like, I didn't say that. You're like, you're okay. You don't need to come on here. We know the majority of you did not, but we remember the people that did.
There were two or three that fessed up right away.
Oh yeah.
They said, it was awesome. Me. I
great.
Did it.
That's great.
So we have two. So because I, so Kara Lawson says,
that sounds like a woman almost
says, what effects, Anish, this one may be for you. What effects will Brexit have on the relationship between Ireland and Northern Ireland? Does Theresa May have any power as a lame duck PM?
Great question. Thank you, Kara.
Just excellent.
Excellent.
That's a separate podcast. That's an off-season podcast.
That's right. Yeah,
Chris Harder, who's always a good who's always a good responder. I'm going to retweet that. That deserves that deserves to go out just because it's actually a great retweet because people will see that from our feed and think, what the hell are they
Brexit? Doing?
Chris Harder, CJ Poppin, he's a good friend of the show. He says, okay, let's revisit the Carson. He's got three in his tweet here. Let's revisit the Carson question from last week. Still leaving or staying?
Leaving.
Good question. You think he's leaving? Okay. Anish, leaving?
Leaving.
Okay. IU not being attorney is great. He just says that. No.
Great. Nothing there. We agree.
Then he has a couple football questions, which, Chris, I think we're going to save these for football. He says, how many touchdowns will Moore have and how many sacks will Carroll
have to say?
Yes, bazillion each. Bazillion. And then he has this last one, his best for last question, basketball belts or football gold jerseys? I know where Ryan's going. Belts. You don't like the gold jerseys. You don't like the gold jerseys.
I hate the gold jerseys. I haven't seen a gold
jersey. You don't like the gold jerseys because of the Tiller gold era. I've been saying to you, if you put a true old gold.
Find it for me. Missouri's gold?
With black numbers, it would look really good.
It doesn't look like Purdue. That's a problem. It may look good, but it doesn't look like Purdue.
That copper 80s Purdue gold.
Here's what I need. I need Jeff Brohm to find whatever uniform he wants and win 9 or 10 games, and then I'm going to make my decision.
If he wins, okay, here's your deal. I'll ask you this one. 10 games, but they wear the silver every week.
I'll take it.
And
I will change our colors.
With the white helmet.
I'll take it. They can wear pink helmets or no helmets and win 10 games. I'm going to be fine with it.
No helmets.
I don't give a shit. It'll show that they're really tough guys if they wear no helmets. So that'll become the trend in college football.
Oh, man. All right. So I'm going to ask you guys now because we're I don't know how much, you know.
We're getting there.
Yeah. Let's just put it out there. What do you guys think? We got to do it. This is the bracket podcast. So I know do you want to save it and reveal it later in the week? I think you should do it now because by the time people listen to this, it'll probably be closer to the tournament.
Anisha's going to post this probably in 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah. About that. People will have maybe a million downloads by morning.
Million downloads. So the question is how many national championships will Purdue win this year?
Well, yes. Will Purdue make the final four or the final game? Yeah, I mean,
hold on. No,
let's crunch the numbers. Magic 8-ball. Ask again later.
Hold on, let me look again. Nope.
Still not. Let me figure it slightly differently.
Listen to the thing. Foreman, I love Chris Foreman. I think he's great. I really do. I think he's great for the program. But I can't. I literally can't imagine Purdue going to Final Four. Like, I can't get my head around it.
Nope,
and when people start to, when Seth Davis, here's a weird thing. Okay, you guys know I'm an emotional guy. When Seth Davis, who I think is a moron,
buffoon.
Yeah. Buffoon. When he says Purdue is my pick for the Final Four, I literally start getting choked up. Like, what?
But did you see the teams? Did you
it
see?
Doesn't he's make got, sense to my brain.
Got, but I think he's got Duke, Gonzaga, Kentucky, and Purdue.
That makes a lot of sense. That's so logical. Like, wasn't there a thing on Sesame Street? One of these kids is doing his own thing.
One of these doesn't belong.
One of these kids is not the same.
Not even.
I know
so,
the one.
So we've talked about, I did it last year. Remember that team that was, we all thought, oh, four senior starters. I put a thing in when they made it to the Sweet 16, the post I did with a bunch of pictures. Remember I did the collage of all the recent good teams? And I was like, you know, this is all we're asking for. And you were like, damn it. I was choked up looking at those pictures of all those different teams.
It's so bad.
And all you talk about how you'd feel and how you can't get your mind around it. All I want is to win the Sweet 16 game. So you've got that other game.
Just get one more.
So you've got that other game at the end of the second.
That's
weekend.
Not even asking for another week of pub.
No,
that's asking
no.
for another 2 days.
Right, right. You're playing an Elite Eight game. That's all I really want. Because it's not that big of a request. It's not.
It really isn't. But it took Gene and Katie until he was like late 50s to get there. Is that? Am I right? I think that's right.
His first one was 94. So, and he's like 80 something now. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. He was probably late 50s, 58.
So, like, that's the whole thing. Like, I love looking at history and guys that figure it out late in their life. But when they figure it out, this is true. Gene Katie spent a lot of time with Coach Krzyzewski. This is not a joke. He went and just talked to him and followed him around and said, how do you do it?
Right.
How do you do it? I just want to know. How do you do it? And
what
he said,
what you should do is get Glenn Robinson.
Exactly. You need to probably
hire Frank Kendrick. Hire Frank Kendrick. I'll give you Frank Kendrick's number.
And this will be very simple.
It'll be great.
Very easy. And then you can throw him under the bus and fragment the fan base in 20 years. It'll work out great for you guys.
All for
meanwhile,
one elite
we'll just continue get McDonald's All-Americans.
Wrestling. Don't wrestle.
In the hallway of a hotel ever, Purdue basketball players. There's nothing positive that comes from it. Let me ask you guys a question.
I think getting back to the original one, I think Purdue, I'm cautiously picking them against Villanova.
And then
losing against Tennessee, who's a legit.
Which would be fantastic. That'd be fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Beating Villanova. So this team, not after the year they've had, but this team after what they lost last year, going to a Sweet 16. Yeah, and sorry, there was something on the screen that distracted me. If this team goes to a Sweet 16 after what they lost last year, that is an impressive year, no matter what people say. Yeah. I know they won the Big Ten, but that is a really good year. I don't think it's a letdown if they lose in the round of 32 to Villanova. I don't think that's like a, oh, crap on this team kind of a loss. I think that's a tough.
It is what it is, yeah.
Right.
I want Purdue to make the round of 16 because some douchebag IU fan said, you guys will be home by the end of the weekend. That's really
all.
I just want – screw that guy. That's all.
They fly back to Purdue no matter what.
No, they stay there forever. How would you get back that quickly? From Hartford, Connecticut, that's like really far away.
Very far away.
Yeah. Or are they using like some – there's no technology can do that. Let me ask you guys a question.
Yes.
Serious question. If Carson Edwards plays his best basketball – as a Purdue player, how far does Purdue go? This is the scenario to me that I have been wrestling with. Can Purdue's best player play his best basketball at the end of the season? We have not effing seen it in my lifetime. And I go back to very, very good Purdue players. I'll go back to Glenn Robinson. You can go back into
Glenn Robinson was playing his best until he got his back.
Glenn Robinson was injured versus Duke. He was not the same guy.
But that Kansas game, he was really good.
A machine.
So he was playing his best, except for that injury.
No.
But I guess that's your point.
That's my point. Purdue had a legit chance versus Duke with a healthy Glenn Robinson. Purdue does not have any chance versus Duke with an unhealthy Glenn Robinson.
And so
similarly,
if Carson plays at his best and everybody else plays like they have been, let's say kind of an average of the
Travion Williams at his peak.
Harm's looking very comfortable.
Yes.
Klein hitting 4 out of 9.
No gel.
Locking like, people down.
Yeah. Honestly, that team can make it to the Final Four. Carson is that good.
But that's why you want so badly to see Purdue's best player, particularly a NBA level player, playing his best basketball this time of year, because that's where stuff happens. The tournament
is
what
I'm
going to
do.
Best basketball.
I'm going to do it. Instead of asking Santa for a bunch of gifts, I'm going to use my Christmas wish right now, and I'm going to say, Santa, please bring me Carson Edwards
that's all I
for
want.
2.5 weeks.
That's not asking a lot.
That's not asking for a lot. That's nothing really in the grand scheme of things.
I'm even thinking of just playing in the Elite Eight game, and you're right. I would like to play in it.
When there's like nobody left, especially if you're
everybody's second, talking about you.
You're the Sunday game.
Yeah.
Sunday Elite Eight. There's only two have already moved on, and now you're like, oh, there's like six teams left.
The afternoon is evening. The sun is setting. They're talking about Purdue. There's nobody playing basketball anymore. Holy moly.
Yep.
How much of a dream would it be?
19 years.
If Carson plays, I mean, that's the thing, is that the Purdue has kind of been the school of bigs under Matt Painter.
Yep.
The tournament turns out
those NBA bigs.
He does. But in the tournament, it's a guards game. You know,
It is. I agree. I'm just saying, but they've had guards too over the years. Like, I don't.
They haven't really. I mean,
having a Carson, I get it.
Eton Moore is kind of a different. That VCU game, I'll never get over. I will never get over that VCU game. So let's not bring that up.
To me, it's really weird. My brain goes Carson Edwards, Eton Moore, Troy Lewis. That's where I like guys that are legit scorers who can fill it up, who are true. I know Troy Lewis didn't have much of an NBA career, but he had some NBA career. So like, it's just not a long list, right?
Can you imagine if Carson looks comfortable and puts in like 28 or 30?
I want to see Old Dominion. I want to see him hit 30 at Old Dominion. How big would you be? Because then it opens. But if he looks like he did against Minnesota.
That's worrisome.
I mean, it really, in the end, it boils down to him because everybody else is actually playing pretty well.
Purdue's not bad right now. I mean, they're not injury riddled.
Wheeler is playing. Trevion is kind of come back into play.
Somebody on Twitter, when Wheeler came in, it was like the microwave right in the first half. Yeah. Somebody on Twitter said, play Aaron Wheeler until he can't breathe anymore. Yeah. Like, don't put him on the bench. Just play him until he drops from exhaustion. Yeah. I was like, I kind of like that take. That's because he doesn't get a lot of minutes.
Yeah.
He's sort of, I don't know.
Microwave.
You know that reference.
I mean, Klein. Man,
that dunk.
Yeah.
It surprised me. Involuntarily stood up. I was like, what just happened?
Because he just kind of took like one little sidestep and I'm like, I thought the same thing. I'm like, how did he elevate like that when he wasn't really running hard? He was changing direction. He went around a guy, sidestepped a guy,
and then he went up, and you're like, whoa, that's like NBA type thing, yes. Right? Where you can explode and get to the hoop. That's just finishing.
Just do that every time.
Seems very easy. When you say it, it's
just get to the basket and dunk every time. That's what Giannis is doing. So
just get to the basket and dunk.
Yeah, and he's made some money playing basketball.
He's fine. Yeah.
He's pretty good.
Doing okay.
Just be like Giannis, which reminds me, I have to mention this. Did you guys see? I'm not gonna call the person out by name because they wouldn't be nice. Someone was saying in our feed. Ryan Klein is taller than Steph Curry. So all he has to do to have an NBA career is shoot as well as Steph Curry. Oh my gosh. Michael replies and says, so what you're saying is there's a place in the NBA for Ryan Klein if he can shoot as well as the best three-pointer shooter in NBA history.
That's it. No. So to be fair, that person never said Steph.
Yes, she did.
Did she say Steph?
Yes.
She just said Curry.
Oh,
it could be either Curry. It could be Del Curry. It could be Curry's brother.
Del Curry.
There's many Currys.
Like Del Curry today, right now.
Exactly.
Did you see him in the three-point contest on All-Star Weekend? He hit three threes.
Del Curry could still hit. Yeah.
No, he was cold.
Those guys, it seems to me, the old guys that can shoot, like I've heard the story, and like in practice, Painter can still just fill it up. But when I go to play basketball at 43, I suck serious balls. So what's happening there? And I'm like, I get a basketball in my hand, and I'm like, what is this?
I don't know if this could happen, like physically. I don't know if it is a possibility, but the amount of money I would pay to see Matt Painter dunk on Ryan Dowd is just immense.
It's hard to write. It's hard to come up with a number. Yeah.
I think I can.
There's two things there. One, I mean, I'm a great defender. That's the first thing. That's a given.
And you're long.
Very long.
Well, you were saying
I have a wingspan of over 4 feet.
You were saying that you were like dog crap and he can still fill it up. And I think there might be a difference between you and a Division I athlete, old Division I athlete.
Now, you've played basketball with me at my prime, Jay. I mean, Anish hasn't seen that. That's like unleashing the hound.
Anish was a toddler or something.
Yeah.
Your prime was a long time ago.
That's true. And it was not very high. Let's be honest. That was a very low bar. Now that I think about it, it may not be the best comparison.
There was a line in Major League when he's like, well, the guys I do know are way past their prime. And I goes, most of these guys never had a prime. Oh, we got another
Question?
One more in there. Excellent. Brad Janitz comes in with a good one in the last, as we're coming down to the buzzer here. Mm-hmm. He has a couple questions, three actually. He says, how much does Trevion play in the opening two rounds? And I would say many minutes.
I think he gets play against Old Dominion.
You don't think he plays against Nova?
I think he gets Old Dominion, definitely. I think Nova might be.
You're saving Boudreaux for Nova?
For Harms.
Yeah, Boudreaux is your guy versus Nova because the speed.
And he says, how many shots should Klein get over under 13? Should he get? That's a hard question. I mean, if he's warm, then as many as he can take.
Feed the beast. His shot is, it's almost like physics and logic defying. Yep. You watch, he's like always falling backwards.
There's like a throw in, like a soccer throw in feel.
Yeah. He's fading back because he's creating space.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
But it always looks like he's falling over.
Yes.
Right. It's an incredible shot.
Right. And then he says, how many shots? This is an interesting one. How many shots can Carson miss and we make it to the second weekend?
Purdue's missed a lot of shots and Carson's missed a lot of shots.
So he averages, 19 shots a game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'd say he needs to make 11.
Did you memorize that? Did you have that?
It's right.
It's right here.
In the old noggin. It's locked. It's in the old.
He's supposed to be remembering stuff.
Exactly. It should be Scholastics, but no.
If I would know as much about my.
That's why one of my favorite on Twitter jokes was when you tweeted or Instagrammed a picture of you giving a lecture, and I mapped on like a Purdue basketball play onto the overhead.
Well, it was weird because I didn't tweet that. My advisor did.
That's right.
You searched my mention. I don't retweet my boss. That's weird.
Yeah, but it was great. It looked like Anish was describing offense.
He's a huge Pitt guy. He's a huge sports fan, and he laughed a lot.
And a Pitt guy. That doesn't make any sense.
Those don't correlate.
He's an old guy. That's how it makes sense.
Dan Marino.
Dan Marino. So you said he averages 19 shots a game.
Yeah.
Carson. So I say he has to make 11 out of 19. He's going to shoot 19
That's a good number. 14. Dude.
Yeah, 25 points.
If he's missing around there, 13, like in the teens, we're in trouble.
That's deep trouble. I mean, they can beat, honestly, I'm not trying to be cavalier, they can beat Old Dominion even if that happens. Someone else is warm.
Let's be real here. Like, we're all being cautious against Old Dominion. But
3-14, you're supposed to win.
I got to tell you guys, it doesn't matter if the three of us are cautious versus ODU. It really doesn't. Yeah. If Jay, Anish, and B Dowd are cautious, it doesn't make a shit worth a difference because we don't matter at all. So we can say
I'm wearing the hat the way I do for every tournament game.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, that's fair. The hat matters. Don't
be silly.
I'm not gonna do that. Yeah.
No.
But that's the whole thing. That's so funny. Like, you know, like we talk a little bit like players. Who gives a damn what we think? It really doesn't matter, right? I mean, so if we're honest. Purdue's worst loss of the year, again, is Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what Notre Dame's net is. I'm assuming it's 125.
Bad. Yeah, bad. Right now, KenPom, they are somewhere around 90.
Okay, look at that right there. Stop. There we go. That's perfect. Thank you, sir. They're around 90, And ODU is 112 in the Ken Palm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go. Purdue should handle their business.
Yeah.
Versus ODU.
I wonder what Little Rock was.
Well, Little Rock, actually, no. I think Little Rock was legitimately one of the trendy upset picks.
They were.
Purdue was very bad at that point. They were a very incomplete team. And they were a team that really didn't understand themselves. They were a team that obviously the press was a bit of a problem.
Wait. So let's back it, because I already mentioned this. My worst memory of the NCAA tournament is VCU, because that was my senior year. That team with Hummel is supposed to win.
See you and raise you Kansas State every day of my
so life. Kansas State is yours. Yeah, that gives me the heebie-jeebies. I understand. So yeah, bad. Kansas State so is bad. Very fair.
Mm-hmm. Texas is another one in Indianapolis. Oh, it's so bad. Sorry. Jay, what's yours?
Wisconsin, 2000.
That was another one.
That was not a good Wisconsin team. We've talked about that one, too. That were not. That was the 8 versus the flipping 6.
And I think that's win. Michael's answer too.
That was it. That was Gene Katie's final four.
So, hey guys, interesting sidebar. I thought about this today when I watched Michigan lose again to Michigan State. That's 3 times
in a row. Yeah.
Isn't that wild that those two teams that seem to be Michigan well State's matched?
Really good.
Michigan State's good. Michigan's very good. And I think Michigan beat by Purdue. Hold on, let me check. Yep, Michigan beat Purdue by 150 points when they played.
And all of us would pick Beilein over Izzo at this point. Yeah. And still, like, it's weird.
Yeah.
So this is a funny story. I talked to a buddy of mine who's a Michigan grad, and I texted him, and then I called him because I tuned in to the Michigan game right after one of the lesser championships were ending. I tune in, and there are Michigan State Michigan State players crying, Izzo crying, a body on the floor, a stretcher coming on. I'm like, holy crap, somebody broke their neck. Somebody's never going to walk again.
Right.
This is unbelievable. And so I text him, what happened? What's going on? Then I call him. No answer. I'm like, oh, my gosh. So I just tune in, and it's got my attention. And then I see the guy who looks like Kirk Cousins on steroids on the floor. And there's no replay. So I go on Twitter, and I find the replay. I'm like, ooh, I've broken my ankle that way. This looks bad. But I was like, not that bad. And then the x-rays come back, and they're negative. What the hell happened there? My friend from Michigan says, oh, that's what Michigan State players do. They learn from Izzo how to cry all the time. Which I loved. I loved that response. But did you guys watch all that unfold live? Or did
no, you like me? I didn't see it.
I was watching. I was on Twitter and I switched to the game when everybody was. Yeah. And it I didn't under. Like, apparently.
And then they're like, yeah, he might play next game.
Like, he's.
What?
He's like a beloved guy, I guess.
Yeah, he seems like a nice guy.
Prone. I don't know. He twisted
his. I compared him to Robbie Hummel on Twitter. Yeah. You can check our Twitter feed. And then I'm like, what the hell have I done? I've jumped to conclusions because I thought this guy's just shattered his ankle. No, he's sprained it.
Yeah, he'll walk.
I didn't what? See that.
Oh my God.
He'll walk again. Is that what you said?
I said, I want him to live a healthy life after basketball. Right. I literally said that. And then they're like, yeah, he might play next week. Good job, Dad.
Oh, my goodness. By the way, I assume you're going to have your Martin Vintage shirts on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Well, so if Purdue makes the – so we will
– They'll make the game to Thursday. They'll make the Thursday game. They've advanced to Thursday.
So we advanced to Thursday. If you order it now, you could get it by Saturday. You could not. Who knows? It's a mystery.
Right. Well, good sell. Good sell, Anita.
It's a mystery. Who knows? Yeah. It could
That's just drop the fun the part.
Yeah, but you will definitely get it for the second.
Who doesn't like gambling? Sports and gambling. It's perfect.
The second weekend. Listen, it's not Martin Vintage's fault that the listener who doesn't have a Martin Vintage shirt is bad at planning their life. right? So get it for the second weekend. Enter the
spoil. I think if this show hasn't instilled confidence that Purdue's making it the second weekend, what will?
I think belligerence is the underlying theme of this show. So I think berating our audience, just criticizing the
criticizing people for
until they
opinions.
Go to martinvintage.com and enter code BOILED.
And then we'll be your friend.
BOILED. How do you spell that, J Money?
B-O-Y.
No, hey,
no, that's not it. That's not it.
Life choice. Boy led. Oh, no.
No, that's not it. See,
different site altogether.
Is that right? That's
a boy led sports.
So if you enter BOILED at checkout, you get 20% off.
Is what we're saying. Basically.
If you're listening still, you're clearly a fan. You've heard this before.
You're
right. If you're listening,
if you're not, God bless you.
If you've listened to this multiple times and you haven't gotten a shirt and entered code BOILED,
then what the hell's wrong
what
with
the
you?
Hell? Yeah, exactly.
This is why. I mean, we can do this read at the end because I recorded that little bumper at the beginning that we because we forget every week. So that was by design. I figured this way.
Anish will edit. It'll be very. The whole show is going to be very smooth.
It's going to be a smooth 40 minutes.
Yeah. If you can edit out the part of me being an idiot, that'd be great. You're going to get the show down about
which one? Be more specific. Sorry,
no, I can't. I can't. But you'll get the show down to a tidy 15 to 17 minutes.
Edit out the part of me being an idiot. That's years worth of editing.
Afternoon's worth of work that people will be listening
if I were you instead.
Upstairs.
I wouldn't edit
a flight of stairs.
Don't edit it at all. And second thought, just let the tape play.
Let it fly.
Just, let it fly.
Purdue is either going to lose to Old Dominion or beat Duke in the
or
next
win. Title yeah. Yes, yeah,
that's right. It's one of those two options.
One of those two options.
If they beat ODU, they are like a stone rolling down a hill.
It's a mystery at that point. Yeah,
can't stop the machine.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll talk to you.
All right.
Love you guys. Good night.